The first case of COVID-19 was diagnosed on our shores almost 6 weeks ago now, on the 29th of February. At the time of this recording, there are 5,709 confirmed cases of the virus, and unfortunately 210 people have lost their lives. Joining me now is local GP Dr. Declan Matthews, and you're very welcome, Declan.
Thank you very much.
Now, looking at those figures 6 weeks in, are we managing to stay on top of this, do you think?
I think, yes, we are. We are 6 weeks into it. We're, nearly 2-3 weeks into our lockdown. I think things are improving. I know it may not seem like things are improving, but they are. I think we are beginning to flatten the curve, which is what people have talked about an awful lot, that we need to do that. Luckily, we're not seeing the ferocious numbers that we expected at this stage, but we have to be cautious. This is like halftime in a championship match. The first half is over. Anything can happen in the second half. We must stick to the rules. Shakespeare had a great quote, Christian Brothers, 1971, leaving cert from Macbeth. We are in blood, stepped in so far, returning, we're as tedious as go o'er. And all that really says is that we're halfway through, we're doing great, we need to keep sight of the shore at the other side and keep going. And as I get slightly worried, when I was coming here this morning now, I noticed there's more people around. I also noticed that people are sort of getting a little bit closer to each other. They're not quite the 2 metres apart anymore. They seem to be sort of, you know, maybe a metre and a half, a metre apart. And I think we just need to, for another while, keep this up. It will be worth it in the end. There is an end in sight. We're getting there. We just need to maintain our discipline.
Is it too early at this stage to say how far off that peak, that infamous peak that we all hear about, is it too early to say how far off we are of that yet?
I think I'll go for 2 marker questions to start with, and maybe we'll go on to the 4 markers and then the 6 markers, if you don't mind.
No problem at all. Well, look, we'll go straight into it. So obviously you were on with us last week, and we've had an overwhelming response, and there has been a massive amount of questions after coming in. So we'll do a quick fire rapid.
Absolutely, no problem. If I know the answers, I'll have them, so hopefully I will know the answers.
Okay, so one that's coming up a lot is testing. So a lot of people are worried about not being able to get a test. They want to know what criteria puts you forward for a test, and could there be a test centre here in Youghal?
I'll take that. Basically, some people seem to think that testing is the whole answer to everything in this. If I get tested and if I have it, that's fine. The test isn't a cure. It's merely a way of telling public health people where it is and where it isn't. If you think you have it, if you have a cough, if you have a temperature, if you have aches and pains, you almost certainly have it. You don't need a test to tell you that. And one of the problems with testing has been that really they did so much of it initially that they began to run out of supplies, and that has caused problems. So now they have defined it down into people who have the symptoms but are also, so you must have two of the symptoms, either respiratory symptoms, aches and pains, or a temperature, but you must also meet other criteria, such as have an underlying illness yourself, or be in touch with somebody who's a definite positive case. And there's a few other criteria like that. So they've narrowed their testing down to that. I know this is very frustrating for people. And I know sort of people were referred initially for testing and we've got no results back. And it would be nice to have it. But in one way, I think sort of focusing on testing in general in the public, it doesn't help that much. It does help public health people in planning, but it doesn't help the normal each everyday case.
Off the back of that then, and going on to the question, should there be or could there be a test centre in Youghal? Is there a need for a test centre in Youghal?
I wouldn't have thought so. I think it would be a waste of valuable resources. As I say, we're low on test kits. We're also low on staff to do this sort of job. So you can only do it where you're going to get the value of it. It takes quite a while to do the test because the person who's doing the test for you has to put on and put off their PPE every time. That takes time. So in general, you might get 4 tests done in an hour. In a town like Youghal, you wouldn't have that many being tested. So really, I think it would be an awful waste of valuable resources.
Now, just sticking with the testing at the moment and the daily press briefings that we're all now subject to and that we're seeing constantly on the news, when we see these, I think yesterday it was 370-odd new cases, are these new cases confirmed cases of tests that might have been done 4, 5, 6 days ago? Are they the figures we're seeing?
I would think a lot of them are, except some of those figures are from testing done in the community. And testing done in the community, it has speeded up, there's no doubt, and testing of healthcare workers has speeded up, and we're getting the results back quicker. So I'd say it reflects that. It also reflects tests done in hospitals, and tests done in hospitals are back within 24 hours. So it reflects some of the ones from the past, but a lot of it would be up to date.
Okay. Mentioning hospitals there, and obviously you have your ear to the ground, are you hearing anything about pressure in hospitals at the moment? Are they coping? What were our capacities looking? I mean, we hear of this surge and intensive care units being filled and stuff like that. What are you hearing on the ground?
Well, my own son, Dara, is a doctor in the emergency department in CUH, so we'd be in touch, obviously, regularly. They are busy, but they're not overwhelmed as such yet. They're managing, they're tired, they're coping well. The hospital seems to be very well geared up. I think we're slightly lucky in the Cork area in that we haven't been hit like hospitals like Beaumont and the Mater in Dublin have been hit. But they're still preparing for a surge for either this weekend or next week.
Okay, and this again comes back to this. We can't be complacent. We have to keep doing what we're doing.
And I know it's terrible for people. We must push that. We can't be complacent. Look, as I said, we're halfway there, probably halfway there. Let's just keep going and let's just do the right thing. And, you know, it's important because staying at home, not going out, not mixing around, what you're doing in that situation is you're saving your best friend who might have diabetes, you're saving a life, you might be saving your granny and granddad's life. It's just people in the community. You're saving a life by sticking to the rules.
Speaking of staying at home and pressures people are under, mental health is a massive issue at the moment. And I would imagine, I think it's fair to say that whereas COVID-19 mightn't affect us all physically, it is certainly affecting us all mentally. If there's people listening to this at the moment and they are genuinely struggling with their mental health, should they contact their GPs?
Absolutely. And I think this is vital. I would sort of say the vast majority of what I've seen in the last 2 weeks has been people with mental health issues. It is very stressful for every one of us. There isn't anybody listening in today who hasn't sort of woken up at 6 o'clock in the morning, gone downstairs and had a cup of tea, thinking, what does the future hold? And this has been very worrying for everybody and is worrying for everybody. It certainly was the case with me 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm much calmer and much better about it now because I can see things are improving. But mental health issues are huge, and I think don't let them mount up. Call your GP, go see your GP. He or she will look after you and will look after you extremely well.
When it comes to other ailments, because of course while this COVID-19 is running, there are still people getting sick in the background. There are still people who are going to have issues that are completely unrelated to COVID-19. And I think it's very important to stress, isn't it, that still contact, we see less and less numbers coming into emergency rooms, yeah, waiting for hospital beds. And that's clearly because a lot of people are just taking a chance, aren't they? They're like, we'll wait. We don't want to go into the hospital because we might catch this COVID-19. But people still need to present to a GP or ring a GP, sorry. Or if they need to go to an A&E, I would imagine it's still safe to do so, isn't it?
Absolutely. And as I say, I have it firsthand from CUH that the ordinary sort of presentations in the A&E or the emergency department are down. Now, they're beginning to increase a bit this week, which is a good sign. The Cancer Society came out and said new presentations of cancer have dropped 40% in the last few weeks. That's extremely worrying. Cancer hasn't gone away. Cancer is still out there. Other conditions are still out there. We need to see them. We need to deal with them. You can go to your general practitioner. Most practices will see people that have non-COVID related problems. They'll see them, they'll deal with them, and then the COVID related problems they'll deal with in the afternoon or when it's safer to bring those to the surgery. So there's a streamlined way of doing this in Cork University Hospital. You go up there, you are checked, your temperature is checked, you are questioned whether you have COVID or not. If you have COVID symptoms, you go one direction. If you don't, you go the other direction into ED, and it's perfectly safe to do that.
Because there is a real danger if this goes on for however, and none of us in this room can say how long it's going to go on for, but there is a real danger at the end of this that people are going to be very unwell because they didn't take the early precautionary steps that they would have if COVID-19 was never around.
And that's the big worry. Diabetics getting worse, new diabetics presenting, as I said, cancer patients, cancer presenting, an abdominal pain presenting and eventually turning out to be cancer. All these conditions can be dealt with much easier if dealt with early and diagnosed early, not if presenting late.
Brilliant. Okay, so let's move it back again. So just to bring it back to COVID-19 and these symptoms. A lot of people are wondering when they hear fever, and this seems to be one of the main symptoms of COVID-19. What constitutes a fever? What's the difference between a fever and a temperature?
There really isn't much difference. The average temperature is about 37.5 degrees centigrade. We would look on a temperature as a fever for COVID is usually over about 38, you know. But a fever on its own could be for any reason. Aches and pains is another symptom that we would expect with COVID. The dry cough is another one. And sometimes a little bit of breathlessness as well.
Is it possible if someone, because it is cough and cold and flu season as it is at the moment, if somebody just has a cough, they have nothing else, they don't have a temperature, they have no aches and pains, they have no chills, they have nothing, but they have a cough, should they still be contacting their GP?
They should at least ring, and we can sort of discuss that with them, because as I say, this time of year, certainly all the smokers have a cough, you know, so it's out there, coughs are out there, not all is COVID. But we still sort of would probably err on the side of caution and say, look, it may not be COVID, but let's presume it is, just because we don't want them circulating with a cough and coughing.
Children, a lot of people who have children, and children are get sick constantly throughout the year. I mean, kids could be sick however many times a year. If your child is displaying a couple of these symptoms, should you contact a doctor? I think a lot of people are worried that if their child is diagnosed with COVID-19 and, God forbid, has to go to the hospital, that they're going to be in isolation, the parents aren't going to be able to go up there, all of this stuff. What should somebody do if they think their child is showing symptoms of COVID-19?
Luckily with this, and it's very seldom you can say the word luckily with COVID, children don't seem to get that sick with it. And there has been very few, thanks be to God, very few deaths worldwide with children from COVID. Has been one or two, but very few. I think at this time of year, loads of kids get what we call upper respiratory viral infections. Not the COVID virus, just normal viral infections. That's where they have the snotty nose, they have the cough, they might have a bit of a temperature. Goes on for a day or two, you give them Calpol and then it settles down. And we would still deal with most of them that way. They don't need antibiotics, they'll get over it with just the normal treatment. But as I say, luckily, we're not seeing many children with COVID.
I'm going to leave the mic open to you now. What's the best advice that you can give to people listening now?
The best advice I can give to people listening now is keep up the good work. It looks like things are improving. Things aren't better yet. There is a bit to go yet. There is another maybe 2, possibly 3 weeks. We don't know. But there is an end in sight to this. And I think we need to sort of just be careful that we stick to the rules. It's worth doing. It's for all our friends. It's for all our neighbours. It's for everybody we know to try and keep people alive. There's a long weekend coming up now. It's good weather. We're all going to be wanting to go out and that sort of thing. No. Good Friday. Most of us are fairly well able to manage Good Friday because it's been sort of the most boring day of the year for I don't know how long. So we can all sort of lock up for Good Friday. That's easy enough. But then we're into Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. We need to stick to the rules. The weather is good. I heard a great quote this morning, if the sun is shining, and the quote was, sit out the back and tan. Now, obviously, if you sit out the back and tan, wear sunscreen, please.
Thanks. I was just going to say, you were bringing up all another host of problems there, but anyway.
Absolutely. One of the things I sort of didn't say the last day, and I really did mean to say, we have some fabulous EMTs, emergency medical technicians in this town. I was going to call them ambulance drivers, but they hate that term and they would kill me if I used it, you know. But we have Pat Mack, we have Mark Walsh, we have Dave Kilgannon, we have Paula Driscoll, who works down the southeast, we have Tuck, Thomas Cliff, also known as, and we have Gillian Howe, and they are playing blinders and they are out there for everybody in the community. And make, please, please, please make their job easier. Stick to the rules, stay inside. People over 70, do not go out. It's not safe to go out yet.
And it is the one time where we can all honestly say that we, as a member of the public, are probably more in control of this than the healthcare profession. If we do what we're meant to do, we make your jobs so much easier.
Absolutely. It's in our hands. It really is in every single person who's listening today. It's in your hands. Don't invite the virus in. Don't go out and get it. Don't bring it into somebody. It has to go away then. It has nowhere to go.
Are we going to come back to that 6-point question? See, you thought I'd forgotten about it, didn't you?
The six mark question is, when is this all going to end? I don't know. I certainly have. I'm far more positive this week than I was last week. I am far more positive than I was the week before. And I hopefully will be far more positive next week. We certainly get the feeling that the curve is being flattened. We certainly get the feeling that we're not quite as inundated as we expected by this stage. That can only be positive, and we can only hope that that can continue. And I think it will continue if we do our bit.
On that note, and until next week, Dr. Declan Matthews, thank you for coming in to me today.
Thank you very much.